Shalom and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the amazing love of my life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, sweetie. So, Thursday at sundown on God's calendar begins a very important 40 days called Teshuvah, a time set aside for a deeper reflection into one's mostly spiritual behaviors to consciously repent and prepare for an eventual wedding around the 30-day mark during the season of Rosh Hashanah. And that's, of course, for the righteous.
And 40 ends on Yom Kippur.
Yes, day 40 does end on Yom Kippur. So, Teshuvah is our topic tonight, and next week, probably, as many significant events happen during this time of August and September. For those of us who are the bride of Christ, well, we are in our happy place during Teshuvah because it's in great anticipation of his possible return to meet him in the clouds. So let us praise our Master King.
Abba, Father, you alone are our Master who gave us your only Son, our Messiah. May this season speak to the hearts of our hearts to repent for not spending enough time in your presence. We do long to get closer to you through your word, for you are the word and our only means of salvation. We also repent for not being bolder and more perceptive of those who do not know you, often neglecting our command to evangelize. We pray for our children returning to school. Please protect them from secular brainwashing and also any lurking predators. We continue to pray salvation for our loved ones as we lift up to your throne our listeners' health issues and our more recent prayer requests. Bless tonight's study as we anxiously await your return and to receive our crown of righteousness. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
I know you want to begin by commenting on Israel.
Well, for sure, because, you know, even though Beirut, you know, in Lebanon was destroyed by that horrendous explosion, which, by the way, followed other smaller explosions first, and then advanced to those stored bomb-making chemicals, Israel is still contending with Hezbollah on their North Lebanese border. You'd think they would be busy. As well, Israel is contending with Hamas still today, shooting incendiary balloons and rockets from its southern border with Gaza. Even so, the good news is the historic peace agreement between Israel and the UAE.
United Arab Emirates.
Yeah, and what is that? United Arab Emirates.
That's Emirates, it. Okay.
Thanks to President Trump and others who most are saying deserve the Nobel Peace Prize, for it's been many years since any agreement has been made. In fact, the last was with neighboring Jordan in 1994, and before that with neighboring Egypt in 1979.
Yeah, but this is a first for any Gulf nation.
Mm-hmm. And more are expected to join.
But this does not fulfill Daniel 9:27, which would begin the tribulation.
Correct. Not yet. But could easily lead to that soon. Mm-hmm. Now it's up to the Palestinians, who at this juncture are very angry about this deal and might become even more angry as other Arab nations join in, who will, I'm sure, likely coerce the Palestinians to, they better make a deal. But of course they will want a few requirements.
As in land in Jerusalem, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? According to Scripture, they will get it. But sadly this time, Israel will agree at some point to give up its sovereignty over a certain area in East Jerusalem for a Palestinian capital.
And that's a problem for God.
Mm-hmm. You know, Israel has given them land before, but never sovereignty, meaning if they chose to, they could take back control. But now, talking Jerusalem, where God placed his name with his initial called the Sheen in Jerusalem's topography. You take out the buildings, you can actually see his initial. You just don't give it to the enemy, who experts say are the descendants of Esau, who scripture says God hates.
Which will begin God's wrath.
With that said, we must also point out, and this is really important, it doesn't really have to be a deal made with the Palestinians. Any giving away of their sovereignty in any area of Jerusalem to anybody would trigger God's wrath.
Ezekiel 36 and Joel 3, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Especially since there is no doubt that God won the 1967 war so Israel could reclaim their ownership over Jerusalem. So, it could just be the Temple Mount area where God's temple stood, remember, twice. And the Antichrist, a.k.a. Satan, wants that real bad. So, to sit in that soon-to-be-rebuilt temple as God.
And will succeed, well, according to Scripture.
Mm-hmm. The abomination, actually, in Matthew 24:15. But it won't last very long. So, they could abandon their sovereignty over the Temple Mount by calling it a compromise, you know, like a good deed so that all faiths can be united there.
Aha, the one world religion, the harlot of Revelation 17.
Since Jordan has been controlling the Temple Mount, and with Israel's permission, they likely will turn it over to the international community, a.k.a. the U.N., which then would likely be controlled totally by the Pope over this new one-world religion, who, by the way, has already been granted special privileges in Jerusalem, and we've talked about that a lot last year.
Anyhow, all is just a signature away.
Mm-hmm. And actually, many popes have been working on this global one God for all idea for decades now. But this Jesuit pope has really advanced the end-time scriptures of a one-world harlot religion. Although Pope John Paul, I think it was about 20 years ago, he kind of added furniture to the stage when he totally embraced Islam and kissed the Quran.
Yeah, you know, I remember that picture.
Mm-hmm. But then why wouldn't he? The Vatican was the main catalyst in starting Islam, according to ex-Jesuit priest and whistleblower Alberto Rivera.
You know, you can still find him on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Or read about it in the Chick publishing magazines. Anyhow, the Vatican has conducted numerous meetings with all religions and cults, including some evangelicals, as in James Robeson.
And Kenneth Copeland.
Mm-hmm. Rick Warner and others, which have been actually going on for years, but many more since the first Jesuit Pope Francis of the diabolical fourth vow has taken over.
Can you remind the listeners how the Pope was granted those special privileges in Jerusalem?
Oh, okay. When the Oslo Accords were signed with Israel back in 93, there was also another agreement called the Fundamental Accord, written and signed by Pope John Paul, where the Catholic Church was given special privileges in Jerusalem, and although somewhat secretive, has since maintained a unique relationship with Israel, especially over the area called the Cenacle on Mount Zion, where King David resided.
And where the Last Supper occurred.
Mm-hmm, yes, also called the Upper Room, and where Pope Francis held a mass when he visited Israel in 2014.
Already he was imitating the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. As we said, the Vatican seems to have great influence and is now claiming ownership of the Cenacle, bought, they say, by the Franciscan friars back in the 14th century, and has dug a secret tunnel underneath the Cenacle that we can surmise leads to the Temple Mount, which has always had tunnels underneath.
Yes, as does the U.S.
Yeah, we do. Many of them, but that's for another night.
So, many are asking us if we think the rapture will happen this year.
Well, I would never say will, but this year is the closest we've come since probably 1993 in the Oslo Accords, although I soon realized back then that that peace deal didn't touch Jerusalem, so it actually couldn't fulfill Daniel 9:27, which is why we just need to be watching closely for any of that verbiage to get a better idea. And we also know that God can speed things up very quickly. So every day, especially starting Thursday, Elul 1 at sundown, will be a significant month in several arenas.
And we'll be discussing it every week.
You think?
I surely do. God willing.
Yes, God willing.
Any other news to report?
Well, I highly dislike discussing last night's Democratic virtual appalling convention, and especially don't want to talk about Biden or his far-left running mate, Kamala Harris. And that's about all you see on TV these days, even though rioters keep looting and injuring anybody who might be near them in their Democratic-run cities.
And that was not mentioned at all last night, huh? Funny
oh, no. The message was, vote for Biden because he isn't Trump. The only one that truly talked about their platform was Bernie Sanders, who openly admitted succeeding in their movement's agenda.
Which we know is socialism.
Oh, yeah. He said it's right out in the open. Braggadocious, in fact. And it's just taken over the Democratic Party, pure and simple.
Yeah, well, he's black and white.
Left or right. So, yeah, I have a bit of good news. There is some more progress being made on the Russian impeachment hoax concerning the invalid FISA documents and all that accompanies that. And today, the Senate Intelligence Committee released its lengthy report on Russian interference in the 2016 election. But I find it hard to believe that the very top people will ever be charged, as in Hillary or even Comey, as we still have hidden rhinos in our government and our court system. Okay, moving on.
You can send your end-time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message too, 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are always greatly appreciated, which will automatically add you to our mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay. Teshuvah means to repent and to return to a deeper walk with God. Teshuvah always begins on the Hebrew month of Elul 1.
So it's a new moon.
Which suggests a beginning to something. So it's quite fitting as Rosh Hashanah also begins on a new moon. Teshuvah is a yearly warning season and time for a quiet, deep introspection of one's self.
So it occurs this time every year for a good reason.
I'll say. Because it's God's warning season to the whole world of a coming judgment that some year begins on a Yom Kippur. And we can assuredly say we will see very serious warnings of high intensity during Teshuvah when it's the year of the rapture.
Just before the tribulation.
That's right. And because of God's great mercy, it's a last minute opportunity to be the bride of Christ.
Before that last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15:51 sounds.
That's right, it will sound. Amen. So, this season presents a golden opportunity for the church to reach out to the lost and to those in need, some due to COVID, and offer them the confidence of salvation.
Because someday, some year, it will really happen.
That's right. All the signs he told us to watch for are occurring right now. Not just in all the lawlessness, to include all the frauds, but look at the demonization takeover of the Democratic Party. You know, we both grew up as Democrats.
Well, today, our parents would not recognize their own party.
Mm-hmm. America is in serious trouble if they win. And I can tell you, if they win this election, they're just going to manipulate everything in many ways. And as we have often said, COVID-19 has been planned for a very long time. You know, right now we're like pawns on a chessboard, but the king is coming soon along with his queen.
Amen.
Because Jesus at some point must keep his next appointment.
He's kept the first four. It's only three left.
Which happens in the season of the fall harvest. So every year around this time, our excitement level increases as he expects us to be anxiously awaiting.
Hebrews 9:28.
Mm-hmm. And remember, James 5:7 does point to the grape harvest time, which is in the fall for his return.
And also confirmed by Jesus in his parable of Matthew 13:30.
Yes, the wheat and the tares.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the season of Teshuva, meaning to repent or to turn closer to God, begins Thursday at sundown and continues 30 days to the Feast of Rosh Hashanah on September 18th and 19th this year, but always on Tishri 1 and 2 on God's calendar, and then continues 10 more days to the 40th and last day of Teshuva, which is Tishri 10, which is Yom Kippur, their National Day of Atonement, this year at sundown on September 27th till sundown on September 28th.
Because each 24-hour period begins at sundown. God said that in Genesis chapter 1.
He did. And let me tell you about a gold nugget. The first 30 days of Teshuvah is heralded in with the blowing of the shofar till the last trump is blown, after 100 blasts on Rosh Hashanah. Then after the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Tishri 1 and 2, there is silence for the 7 days of awe, which are the high holy days, ending on Yom Kippur, Tishri 10, when the great trump is blown, which is just another idiomatic expression, this time for Yom Kippur, as we read in Matthew 24:31.
Like the last trump is an idiom for Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah.
That's right. So we have the last trump and the great trump. What is usually missed, because most don't know about this special season, is that we do see Teshuvah detailed in Scripture, where God particularly uses this season of warning just prior to what they believed could be the resurrection some year on the anniversary of the creation of man.
On Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year.
That's right. This is also recorded and taught in their tractate commentary on Rosh Hashanah. And by the way, the strict Orthodox still believe that the resurrection will happen on some Rosh Hashanah. But others, like Christians, have gotten away from their original Hebraic roots. In fact, some Jews today who have received the Messiah admit they had to go back and learn their true roots from when Jesus walked, because through the centuries, their teachings have veered off from the first century.
Especially during the Dark Ages.
Today, many will say they attend the Reformed synagogues. So, unfortunately, many share what their recent ancestors taught them, which can be perplexing to Gentile believers because conflicting teachings are popping up, causing confusion. But we need to study our Hebrew roots dating from the first or second century. And by the way, George Foote Moore, he was a good author whom I learned a lot from.
By the way, they did not wear yarmulkes.
No, they didn't. And I always found it peculiar that the hierarchy of the Catholic Church wear them as well.
Didn't you research that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, do tell.
Okay. Well, red is reserved for cardinals and purple for bishops, and their colors for and their are colors for other ranks, but they call them skull caps or zucchettos, which actually began hundreds of years ago because when they took their vow of celibacy, a ring of hair was cut off the tops of their heads, and it's called a tonsure. So these caps were used to cover that part of the head to retain body heat. Monks and even other religions like Buddhists practice tonsure as well. Interesting little piece there for you. Anyhow, back to learning our roots, which, again, I will keep repeating, all Christians should do. Because Constantine actually defiled the church with the leaven of paganism. So we really need to look at our original Hebrew roots, for then we can really appreciate how fortunate we are to be under the new covenant. Praise the Lord. Which is why I do enjoy very much teaching it, but in a balanced way. The new covenant omits all legalism. You know, as with the spring feast that Jesus fulfilled, he also fulfilled the Sabbath, because he is our Sabbath. Meaning every day is the Sabbath to us. We are now holy because he is holy and dwells within us. It's been fulfilled. Therefore, we are to recognize the Sabbath as typology, a future picture of how restful the seventh day that lasts 1,000 years will be, called the millennial kingdom, the day of rest. And you know, Hebrews 4 explains this very well. But it's freedom to worship any day. And actually should be every day. So you can go to church on Sunday, you can go to church on Saturday, you can go to church on Wednesday, it doesn't matter. Jesus lives inside of you, and he is the Sabbath. And here's a gold nugget I want to share with you quickly before we run out of time. With a little calibration, we can know that Jesus honored Teshuvah when he fasted those 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted by Satan on the last day of Teshuvah, which for my studies, well then of course, would be on Yom Kippur. So it's a spiritual antitype of how Jesus will return after the tribulation, also on a Yom Kippur, to totally defeat Satan. But this time, Jesus will then himself rule the world, literally. You know, Satan did offer Jesus the world, right then and there, which confirms just how powerful Satan is, but only for a while, which is why evil still happens, and it's increasing as Scripture prophesied it would, and even more so just prior to Jesus' return. And real quick, here's another one for you. Again, by doing some scrupulous math through Scripture using the Hebrew calendar, we can know that Moses went back up on the mountain the second time for 40 days, during what would later be called Teshuvah, because it was the time Moses repented for the people for worshiping the golden calf. Moses returned to the people from being with the Father on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, with the new set of tablets. Jesus, too, returns with his new millennial covenant on a Yom Kippur. Go figure. Moses is definitely a prototype of Jesus. It's just very exciting to see the details untold to you if you want them. Many don't care to. The Laodicean church has definitely arrived. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. See you next time. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.